Okay, 10:45, we're going to get going. Just before we do this is the second session that we're running here, so I just want to get a quick show of hands. Who were in the first session yesterday? Okay, you might see some repeat. There's not a lot of it, but just keep that in mind. And it also helps me to understand how much context I need to create up front. So a couple of things about this session that I want to point out before we get going that's really important. There's some K2 people in the room. You'll see them, K2 T-shirts, and I want you to keep an eye on them because we have no software running here. This is all running in the cloud. This is all new engineering work we've done with Microsoft, and this stuff goes into production in April, so it's all still pre-production. So when we provision stuff live this morning, it comes with that caveat, and I just want to make sure that the K2 guys in the audience keep on breathing. So if they don't breathe, just make sure you tap them in anticipation for what should happen on screen. So that's the one thing, so bear with us. This is all live, it's all real, and it should be pretty interesting and pretty exciting for us. So what does K2 do? We essentially let you build workflow apps on SharePoint without having to write code very quickly. And workflow forms and access to your enterprise data or new data or data that exists structured or unstructured in your organization or in the cloud anywhere. The whole goal here is to let more people solve problems that they couldn't solve before. So when we looked at what we wanted to do around SharePoint 2013 and SharePoint Online, we did spend quite a bit of time talking to customers in the community, and I got this question yesterday quite a lot. People want to leverage what happens in the cloud, but they want to do it over time. They have a lot of assets that's running on premises. They want to be able to tap into that. They want to be able to use that information. But at the same time, they want to be able to build apps that either exist in the cloud, run the cloud, or use stuff in the cloud. So create a seamless distance between cloud and premises, and it's probably one of the number one requests, and you'll see what we did to accommodate that. Second thing is help us to get more people involved in this. More people in the organization that understands the business problems want to be involved in solving them and as well as using these applications, and they want to be able to do it across all of their devices. And that's sort of really what set the tone for us when we started engineering the solution on top of what we had within K2 and in our K2 Black Belt product. When they talk to us about SharePoint, there's really three scenarios that they focused on. Now, we're not going to cover all three of them this morning. We don't have time. This really is sort of about what we're doing with some new cloud stuff. But essentially, on the left-hand side, there are solutions that are specific to content that exists or gets created within SharePoint lists and document libraries, whether it's a list item, a document, a content type. That really is new information that gets created within SharePoint. And I want to be able to build workflows for that, or I want to be able to build forms-based applications for that, or combine both. Now, sometimes it's as simple as taking a Word document with a sales proposal in it and building a quick workflow process to send that to your manager for approval. And that need very quickly evolves, because when the manager gets the Word document to approve it, the question is immediately arises, well, why don't we give them more information? Show the customer background, how many orders have they placed from us, discounts applied previously, our account manager, their account manager, latest information about that customer, and all around the context of the document that you have. And how easy is it to do that then? Because a lot of that information already exists within your organization in different various systems. So we go from simple workflow very quickly to workflows with information and forms and context associated with it. And then the last one, which in our world we see a lot with our K2 Black Belt product, is where solutions don't start in the context of SharePoint at all. So banking systems, insurance claims, oil field drill requests, none of those things are necessarily a list item in SharePoint that triggers a workflow. But at some point in that solution, then you want to retrieve information from SharePoint, you want to store information, update information. So SharePoint still plays a big role, but it's not necessarily in the context of a list item of a document item that triggers the initial solution. Now, at K2, we do a lot of work to make sure that our customers can scale from the left to the right or from the right to the left. You shouldn't have to buy additional software to go from workflows to forms, and you shouldn't have to buy additional software to build the solution on the right. It should be easy, it should be seamless, and it should scale throughout your entire organization. And we have a really, really good story with regards to that. What you're going to see, what I've do this morning, we're going to focus on some cloud stuff I mentioned, but once K2 is installed, it lights up within SharePoint 2013. It's an app that installs out of the App Store. It allows you to use data, forms, and workflow. Those are separate functional components, but not separate products or different products in K2's world. If you buy K2, you get all three. You don't have to buy the one and then add the other one. If you invest in K2, you have the entire platform, because we want to make sure that our customers can leverage the entire set of capabilities. So you buy into K2, you can use forms, or workflow, or just workflow. It's entirely up to how you want to build your solution. The forms are very powerful. They are authored within the browser. We'll do a little bit of that this morning. We're not going to do a lot of it. The platform itself empowers you to very quickly take a list and say, generate a form and run it. And Willow is going to do that. No code, no nothing involved. But once the form is there, we can evolve it and we can add additional information. We can combine information from different systems in our organization. There's one very important thing that I just want to highlight here. We do not generate code for our forms. We believe it's a very, very bad practice. If you have to use JavaScript to make a web service call to populate a drop-down list box, you probably invested in the wrong forms technology. Our forms use a declarative model that we've worked really long and hard to develop and to mature. And why is it a declarative model? Because the form describes itself. It understands where it is. And based on where it is, based on how it's being used, based on the solution that's finding itself, it can adapt very quickly and dynamically. It makes it easy to manage it through its life cycle, makes it easy for you to reuse forms. You don't have to build them over and over. And it allows the forms to sort of switch on and switch off. So workflow, we're not going to do a lot of workflow this morning. The new version of our software has added a lot of capabilities with regards to workflow. This is sort of the world where we came from a long time ago. Whether you want to build workflows, as I mentioned, that starts inside of SharePoint, outside of SharePoint, talks to dynamic CRM, to Salesforce.com, to SAP, to web services, it's all there and it's very capable. And there's a number of tools there that allow you to do that. We're going to spend a bit more time on mobile this morning. We didn't do that yesterday. We didn't have time. We made some acquisitions in the mobile space. We have probably the biggest area of investment, R&D-wise, in our business is mobile. You can expect a lot of mobile innovation from us this morning, over the course of the next year or two. We have iPad applications available. They're user-friendly. They allow people to customize them and sort of deal with the realities of that being the place they go to for work and task and information management. Those same apps are available on smaller form factors. And again, it sort of adapts and based where they're being used. And it's also available for Windows, for the Windows Phone platform, as well as for Windows 8.1, as well as for Android. So investment's pretty much all over the place. And we're constantly updating and innovating in that area. So specifically to the demo this morning, what we're going to do here, we have a lot of customers who come to us and say, my SharePoint run on-premises. And for now, I'm really happy with it. I want to take everything that I saw in K2's demos, forms, workflow, data, and the ability to build apps, and deploy it, and it must just run. It must just work. I don't want to have to install additional software in my environment. I don't want to install software in multiple places. It must just work. So in other words, is it possible for you to give me the full K2 SharePoint experience, functional experience that you saw yesterday, you'll see some of today, but just make it run with somewhere else? Scale, auto-scale, everything just works. It's fast, it's quick, it's at high redundancy levels, and I have all the capabilities and I don't have to install additional software. And keep in mind, your software all runs on-premise, so nothing else required. The same thing is we have customers who come to us and say, I'm investing in SharePoint online, and that's where we're building all our new solutions, and they want to do exactly the same thing. They want to deploy K2 from the App Store and have all the capabilities that exist and also in the cloud. And then we have a very interesting scenario where people come to us and say, well, actually both applies to us. We have SharePoint on-premises, SharePoint 2010 or 2013. We're starting to use SharePoint online. A lot of departments are building out solutions there very quickly. And we actually want to combine both. And I don't want two servers. I don't want two workflow lists. I'm the same person. I work for the same organization. They should be able to just seamlessly integrate into one another. And it shouldn't be difficult to configure that either. It should be really easy. So we announced a brand new product this weekend, which is specifically engineered to provide exactly this kind of capability. It's called K2 AppIt. It stands for Application It. And what it is, it's workflow apps for SharePoint in the cloud using the K2 SharePoint solution. There's absolutely no difference between functionality, whether you use it in the cloud, on-premises, or whether you use this capability within K2 Black Pearl if you're a K2 Black Pearl customer in the audience. The one benefit that Appit does have is that rather than installing additional software in your environment, having to manage it, you don't have to even touch it. There's nothing else you have to do after you've gone through the process that Willow is going to go through live in the demo this morning. The other thing is it includes our forms capabilities and workflow and data and reporting, as well as the ability to talk to any other line of business system, whether it's in the cloud, Dynamics, CRM, Salesforce.com, or on-premises, databases, web services, SAP. All of that seamlessly integrates into K2 for Appit, even though it is running in the cloud. Appit will be available for $500 per month for the first 100 users. After that, $2 per user. And for that, you can build unlimited applications across unlimited site collections, and you get all of the capabilities for K2 for SharePoint for those users. So it's an incredible, we think it's an incredible value point, and we're doing this because we really believe that if people build these kind of applications, we can have a big impact in how they use SharePoint on premises as well as in the cloud. Another very important point, and we see this, and we just don't agree, we see companies who build solutions on SharePoint, and then when people want to use those solutions, even in departments, they require them to license the users for every single user they have within SharePoint. And we don't agree with that, so if you become an Appit customer, you only license the users that will use Appit from us. Doesn't matter how many people you have in SharePoint, online or on-premises, you only pay for the users that are actually effectively using Appit. And Appit will be available end April. Why end April? We're launching and making K2 for SharePoint available now. I mentioned the Appit stuff users, some new things that we've done with the Azure team, some brand new development, and we have to align with when that will become available, and that will become available in that window, and as soon as it is, we're going to ship this and release this, and all customers can go to k2.com/Appit, and it will be available through that online. So what we're going to do this morning is I'm going to hand over to Olaf, and he is actually going to go to SharePoint Online. So we're going to use SharePoint Online. We don't have it running here. And he's going to provision a brand new Appit environment. And there's a very interesting little bit of psychology that's going to happen here as well. Because 3 minutes, when it's dead quiet, it's a very long time. So Olaf is going to try and fill up as much of those 3 minutes as he can, but I've never seen him get halfway through, and then it goes quiet. So it's probably going to go quiet for about a minute and a half, and that's when you need to start tapping those K2 people on the shoulders to make sure they keep on breathing. So I'm going to hand over to Olaf. He's going to take us through that. He's going to build some things within K2 to show, give you a taste of the software. Then we're going to use some mobile devices in the demo as well. And then it'll come back to me, and we're going to wrap up the session with some Q&A. We're going to try and keep the pace going fairly fast, and we'll take it from there. Willow.
Thank you very much, Adrian. I'm going to switch across to my machine. Now, as Adrian clearly mentioned earlier, this could be any laptop whatsoever. The only thing I need here is just a browser in order to do this entire demo. I've currently logged into my site here running on SharePoint Online, which is our instance. And I'm going to start this demo with absolutely nothing. So we'll start from scratch, and I'll build and provision everything right here in front of you. So the first thing I'd like to do is I'm just going to start actually by even creating my own subsite and starting from there. So let's give this a name, seeing as we do the SharePoint conference. Let's say we'll call this the SPC demo or something like that. And go and create my site. So as we described earlier, in K2, there's no sort of installation into SharePoint itself. We make use of the new app model. So the way to bring these worlds of K2 and SharePoint together is via our app. So now that I have my SharePoint conference demo site, I'm going to go there and add an app to this. Now this app could come either from my local store or from the app store. Here I've got the app available for me. And I can simply click that, and if I trust it, I can add that to my site. Now, the first thing this is going to ask me is we need to connect this to K2. Now, for existing customers of K2, they can use their existing on-premise instance of K2 and just point their SharePoint Online site directly to that. Or, what the main focus of the demo here is, I'm somebody who is not yet a K2 customer, and I need to provision this all from scratch. So I click on the app. It's going to ask me, Get rid of that pop-up, there we go. What's your environment? Well, I don't have one yet, so let's go to create one. So this is going to open up the Appit provisioning wizard, and it's asking me a few basic questions. So first of all, who am I? There we go, I'm going to type in my email address. And just to verify that I actually am a human, it's going to send me a 4-digit PIN. So I'm going to switch across to my OWA right here in SharePoint Online and just wait for that email to come in. That's going to be sent through to me by SharePoint. Now, sometimes this email takes a couple of seconds, but not usually too long. All right, let's just wait for that. Unfortunately, this piece is entirely out of our hands for the demo. This is literally just between SharePoint and OWA, and there it is, and eventually it always gets there. Great, so there's my 4-digit PIN, 9272, and I can simply go ahead and type that in to my provisioning UI, and we can continue on. So I'll go and type that in, hit next, and now we really want to just capture the minimum information about the user. You can see here we've already picked up my first name and last name. That's basically coming from my SharePoint Online tenancy, so we know what those details are. Let's go give a company, so this is our equivalent of Contoso. And I can indicate what size am I thinking about here. I think I'm going to do pretty small. And go ahead and click Create, which gives me a very nice animated GIF saying that we're on it, and the provisioning has now begun in the background. Now, Adrian asked the question earlier, who's been into the K2 session? Just a quick show of hands, how many of you have actually installed K2? I wonder if there is anybody here. No, there definitely are a couple in the room. So I'm sure during that installation process, you definitely had to fill in a whole lot more fields than just those three. So we really have slimmed that down. But let's take a moment now to let me quickly show you what is actually happening behind the scenes. So I'll just prepare a quick slide on that. Right, so I was browsing in my newly created site in SharePoint. And that is already connected to Azure AD. So all the users and groups that are created in that SharePoint site are already in Azure AD, which you can federate to your on-prem AD if you want to. I then went and installed the K2 app. And I said, I'd like to create a new Appit instance. And that's going to go and provision a logical K2's farm for me. Now, that's comprised of a number of building blocks. First of all, we create a new data store for K2 in Windows Azure SQL Database, formerly known as SQL Azure. And we also then provision a K2 farm of K2 servers that are connected to that database. We also connect that, obviously, to Azure AD. And then in front of all of that, we also make use of the Windows Azure Load Balancer to ensure that even that balancing of the load and full uptime is taken care of for you, we will route that traffic in between each of those servers. And then we have some additional tools on the right that help with the provisioning here, as well as the monitoring of this entire environment. But this sort of dark blue block that you see in the center of the slide is currently what's provisioning right now in the background. Right, so that usually takes a couple of minutes. I'm going to head back over here. Something else I wanted to show you is that this doesn't have to be done synchronously. We also send you an email, which says exactly the same as the UI, saying that, well, whilst you're waiting here, we're busy creating all of this infrastructure for you. And at any time, one can just click on the link to see how far we've gotten with this process. Right, so this environment is still provisioning in the back. Let me see how long it's been going. We started at 11:03, we're at 11:05 now, so we're about 2 minutes in. It's about as verbose as I can get. I should drop in some good jokes now. But it'll take probably another minute or two just to complete this entire process. And it literally is a case of using the platform services in Azure to spin up these multiple VMs, fire them, configure them, take care of all the security as well as the user configuration from Azure AD. So that does take a couple of minutes. Now, this is not our final artwork yet. As we came here, we thought we have to do the 1997 style old school web animated GIF. The only thing that I didn't put in here is some blinky text. Sure. Yes. I don't believe so. Yeah. That is a question. I'm trying to see if anybody's here from the commercial side. I don't believe so. I believe it's going to be separate. Yeah. All righty. Let's see how far are we in. How are we? Sure. That's correct, yeah. So it's just an initial indication of, we have three different models of how we spin these up and exactly how many servers we drop into the K2 farm. We can adjust all of that dynamically as we keep monitoring the load on the back end, and we can grow or shrink the instance as needed. But it gives us a good basic idea of what's the starting point. A lot of customers, if we know that we're expecting 1,000 users, we don't want to have a slow experience right off the bat, so then we just go and provision a whole lot more right immediately. Right, there's another question, yes. Yes. That's correct. Yes, a new form for per customer. Yeah. Yeah, so we've looked at a couple of models. Whether we have got a whole bunch of prototypes running where we do multi-tenancy and run multiple instances of K2 on the same set of servers on the back end. But as the costs have come down within Azure, it's actually more cost-effective for us, and it allows us to provide a better service level if we actually provision separate instances for each customer. It also means we don't have to open any doors for security issues or that type of thing. Yeah. Right, so I'm not going to let this go for too much longer. I'll give this another minute or two. Otherwise, I'm going to pull the classic TV chef move and pull the pre-baked one out of the oven. But I really wanted to use this one and carry on with it all the way through. So a combination, yeah. We're using a lot of PowerShell to do a lot of this work. We actually have a landlord system that is actually running K2 as well. So a lot of these kick off K2 processes to orchestrate this entire process. And then we have a couple of third-party tools that we use for monitoring just to make sure that everything is staying alive. All right, so I'm not going to give this too much longer, otherwise I'm going to run out of time. Let's see, we're 6 minutes in. When that thing hits 11:10, I'm going to jump over to another environment. And the only delta between that environment is I just built it beforehand. Now, the amount of time this takes does vary. Over weekends, we see that enterprises are doing less on Azure. So then this time comes down to about 2 minutes. But during the weeks, we see it usually is around about the 4-5 minute mark, sometimes in the 6-7 minute mark. Alrighty, so sorry guys, I'm just going to jump across over here, otherwise this is going to take too long. So before this demo, I did create one separate, completely empty site as well, which I'm going to go to. So let's go back to my root site. And I'll switch across to K2 demo. There we go. So this is just another site where I've actually gone through this exact same process, hit provision and done, and these two are now linked together, and I can start building my solution. So I've got absolutely nothing in the site. Everything I'm going to create for the solution will be here in front of you. So let's go and start with that now. So I'm going to add an app to my SharePoint site. In this case, I think we'll use issues as the example. So let's take this issue tracking app and add that, and we'll call this customer issues. And immediately, I'd like to customize my list, add a couple of fields. So let's jump in there. Into the list. And using the SharePoint UI, I'm just going to add some columns to that. Well, the most important thing to me is to know who the customer is. So let's go and just add the customer as a single line of text and add that to my form. Also, I'm going to control where this thing appears. So let's just go and change this column ordering. I want this one to be right up at the top, maybe just after the issue name. So I can control that all with the standard SharePoint UI. Right, so we've added that here. And right now, if I was to use this, I would have our standard out-of-box forms. But I want to go and enhance that and use K2Forms in order to make this a better solution. So when I go to my list, you'll see now that there's a new icon on the ribbon. Well, there's actually two that we put in there. And this is the one I can use to create a K2 application. So I'm going to hit this black icon. And that's going to bring me back with a very basic wizard-like page asking me what elements would I like as part of my application. As Adrian highlighted in the deck, our basic three components are forms, workflow, and data. You also see reports on here, but reports fundamentally are just additional forms with reporting controls on them. So they really are just a type of fancy form. And the very first time one does this as a user, you get this "Do you trust it?" prompt. This is because we've set up OAuth between K2 and SharePoint. So everything that I do through the SharePoint UI into K2 has actually been done as me, the user. There's no more system account that's suddenly gone and mysteriously updated some items in SharePoint. This everything we do with the correct OAuth tokens. So this, because this is a brand new and fresh site, and this is the first time I've done anything on it, it asks me to trust it, which I do. And now I can go ahead and create my application. So I'm just going to create a very basic application now, which is just going to comprise of data and forms. And when I select those two and hit OK, it's going to go and provision my application for me or create my application. Now, this is going to do a couple of things, and I've just also created a very quick slide just to show you visually what's happening behind the scenes. Oops, let me run through this. We've just been through all of that. So on the application, we are browsing in our SharePoint site. We hit the K2 app, filled in a couple of questions, and now stuff is starting to happen. The first thing that we do is we create what are known as smart objects in K2. Smart objects are declarative business objects that can describe data coming from different line of business systems. We don't replicate the data. The data always still resides in the line of business system that it comes from. So in this case, SharePoint lists, and we generate a whole bunch of those. The first one is the customer issue smart object that represents the data in this list. And because of what's actually happening in that list, we have to build some additional smart objects. In other words, one to house all of the attachments for a list item with the one-to-many relationship. And because that form also has three choice fields, we create additional smart objects that represent that choice field. The reason we do this is because we still want the user to use SharePoint as the primary UI to work with the list and the list's options. So if the user goes and adds some additional options to the choice, those get elevated through that smart object onto the form immediately and dynamically. So after we create those five smart objects, the next thing we do is we create a bunch of forms. Now in K2, we use two words for our forms, forms and views. Views are singular, granular building blocks that you use to build your forms, either list-centric or single record-centric. And forms are just built up of one or more views. So we just assemble those forms by adding these different views onto those forms. Now, we create 8 of these as part of this application. Firstly, to replace the existing new edit and display form, we build smart form equivalents for those, and we update the link so that they use our forms by default. You can always revert back to this SharePoint form or use different forms if you want to. And then we also build these views, including the attachments, which I'm going to be using as part of my demo. Right, so that goes, there we go, that was in the background. There's what they look like when they're all done. So you can see all of my smart objects at the top, followed by my views and my forms. Right, so let's go jump right in and now use this form as a user. And I know the projectors are a little bit dim, so hopefully you guys can see that. So when I now click New Issue on my customer issues list, instead of seeing the standard out-of-the-box SharePoint form, I now am seeing a K2 smart form, even though at this stage it's still very basic. In other words, it has this controls that represent the same data types as we had on that form. So let me go and capture something over here. Let's say we have unable to log in to customer portal. And let's say this was our customer of ours, Kimberly Clark, as an example. I'm going to assign this to Grant. Oh, doesn't seem to like Grant. Let's try that one more time. Let's try somebody else then. Nope, doesn't seem to like that. I'll have to leave that one blank. Right, and I'll say unable to log into portal. And at the bottom of this form, we have this attachments view right here on the form. So now with this list item, I can just go and add an attachment right off the bat. So I could grab a file. Here we go. Here's a screenshot of the portal. So I could just go and add directly to this. And when I hit save, obviously it's going to go ahead and create that list item for me. So from nothing to the list to generating a basic form was very quick. But that's not all that exciting yet. Actually, I want to show you how we can make these forms a lot more complicated and leverage line of business data directly within that form. Now, the most suitable field for that, obviously, is that customer field. Text fields are extremely error-prone. People type them all in slightly differently. You end up having 10 copies of the same customer. And that information already exists within the organization. Now, in our case, we have a customer and partner portal that all of our customers log into in order to download the software and log support tickets. Now, I'm actually going to use that data within this demo. So our IT guys have opened up a web service for me, which I can use directly from this within this environment. And I'm going to go ahead and configure that now. So keep in mind, nothing is pre-configured. This is probably a slightly more technical thing that not your end users would do, but it's very, very simple. So let me go ahead to our management configuration, and I'm going to go and add a new smart object service instance to point to that customer portal that I have running in our offices in Redmond. So let's go ahead and call this customer portal. For those who saw the demo yesterday, I used Salesforce.com with existing smart objects. This is the step to take if you have absolutely nothing at all. And that's running a web service. And ordinarily, I would also use integrated authentication, but our CIO wouldn't let anything else other than my explicit username access this stuff. So let me go and type in my details. And then lastly, we need the URL to the web service, which I have just pasted into my clipboard. All right. So there we go, that's that web service. And right at the bottom of this UI, it says, would you like me to go ahead and generate smart objects for that? Yes, I would. So I'm just going to click OK. That's going to register the new service instance. It's going to go and hit that now, describe the service instance back into K2, and create smart objects for all the objects that were found in this web service. And as soon as that's done, there we go, we can start leveraging this customer portal data in our solution. So now I'm going to shift back to my SharePoint list again, and let's start using that. So at this point in the demo, we've just generated forms, and we haven't really designed or built anything. I'm going to spend a little bit of time now in our design environment showing you how you can actually affect a lot of changes. So when I go back to my K2 application, you'll notice you're no longer presented with a wizard, but rather back to this application page, which shows you all of the bits and pieces that have been generated for me thus far. And we can use that now to go and take this a little bit further. The first thing that I'm going to start working on is that the text box for the customer name. So I'm going to go to that view and modify that that form right here within this environment. There we go. So here's our new customer view. Can go ahead and check that out. And I can edit that either by clicking edit on the toolbar or double clicking. Now notice how this has now brought our forms design environment and it's opening it up right here within the browser. I haven't left SharePoint. I'm still running within fundamentally the same context. And it's going to go and edit up, open up this form so I can edit this right here. Once again, no software installed on this machine. This is all happening in the cloud. So here's my view, which is my basic building block of my form. And this is the customer field that we used earlier. I'm now going to change that and say, well, I'd rather have that be a picker. So I'll switch that over. And now I need to wire this picker into some kind of source. So I'm going to scroll to the bottom here and select a smart object. And open it up. There we go. And you can see over here, there is that endpoint web service that we just registered with the customer portal. And if I expand into that, there we go, is a bunch of smart objects. The one I want is this get company list, which we'll use to go and search for the customers. And let's say we're just going to search on the ID and the name. Perfect. So it's as easy as that to incorporate that data into this picker control. And I can hit finish. Right, so that's what it takes to edit this existing view, but I can do more than this. What I'd like to do is if I select a company on that picker, to have an additional view that shows me all of the details for that specific company. So let's go and create a brand new view, which we haven't done that far in this demo. So I'll just say new view, and that's going to open up a very similar design environment for me to build these views. So let's call this view customer details, and let's go and build that on that same web service that we used earlier. So there's our customer portal objects. Got a method here, get company details. I think I'm going to make use of that. So I'll drag and drop it in, and I can start building my view. Right, so I have nothing at all. You can see here's my blank design canvas. I want to use this wizard to generate most of this view for me. So I'm going to grab most of the fields that I get back from this web service. Maybe I'll just trim a couple of these off that don't look so good. And I'm going to put my labels to the left of my controls with a nice little colon suffix behind them. And when I hit OK, you can see it's going to generate my basic view for me. And there it is. Fantastic. Now I'm very happy with that. Right, so I can hit Finish. And my new view is saved. And it takes me straight back to my application page. And you'll see there's that customer details view sitting over here in this list. Now, I'd like to go even further with that, and I want to bring back all of the software that this customer has purchased from us, so his entitlements. So let's create one more view. So I'm going to go straight back in. And this is going to be a slightly different view, so I'll call this customer entitlements. This is going to be what we call a list view, so a view that's used to display multiple lines of data or multiple records, as opposed to the item view, which was just for a single record in a form-centric type view. All right, so let's go grab the other object over here. You can see there's that get company entitlements. You can drag and drop that in. And I'm going to make use of that. Well, I don't want it to load immediately when the form loads because I still want to be able to tell it which one to load. So let's once again generate most of this content. Let's see, I'm happy with that. Don't really want those. And when I say OK, you're going to see it's going to generate with some sort of sample data. That's what my list view will look like. And I'm absolutely happy with that. Perfect. So hit Finish, and my view is saved. Now we need to modify our form to use these new view building blocks that we have. So I'm going to show you now what it's like to edit that existing form, drag these views in, and to add some additional life to this form. So let's go to our new issue form. You can go and check that out, and I'm going to edit that. Let's give that a second. I'll go right in. Oops, let me just go back again. Must have misclicked. Oh, the internet is getting a little bit slow. All right, so we're almost there again. Let's try that again. Right-click, check that out. There we go, that's more like it. Edit that form. And now we can completely change the way in which this form behaves. Now, firstly, you'll see that we used this form earlier. We have the new issue view at the top, and we have that attachments view here at the bottom. So that's what this form looks like. And you can see that this new issue view is now changed. The customer control is now a picker, which is exactly what we want. So let's go and grab some of these additional views that we've just created. So firstly, customer details. Can drag and drop that on. I think I'll drop it over here on the right. And I can give that view a name. So let's call that customer details. And keep in mind that this data is coming from our portal. So I'm just going to go and type that in over there. And something else that we do with these views or with these forms that we... Because my machine is so wide, we don't use 100% of the space. So I think I actually want to make this form a little wider to use all the available space in this UI. Perfect. So we've added this view in. And what I need to do now is add some logic to this form such that when I select a company on the picker control, that it goes and loads the appropriate customer's details. So we're going to create a new rule. If I go to the rules tab, there are already some existing rules that have been generated for this form. Rules are really the life behind all of these forms. I need to go and create a new rule. So in this case, I want to do something when a control on a view does something. And first ask me which view. Well, on my new issue view, when my company or customer picker is changed, then I want to go and tell another view to go and do something. So I'll say execute a view method. And I'll go and tell our customer details, which we just dragged and dropped, to go and execute its read method. The only remaining thing is to tell it, well, which customer must I load? Well, that's obviously the value that we have in our picker control. So I'm simply going to take that control and send its data across to that other view. So I can just go grab this customer picker, send it across to the other view, and I'm done. It's as easy as that. Right, so now we've added the first view to this, but I'd also like to add those customer entitlements whilst I'm here. Now, this form is getting a bit busy, so what I'm going to do at this point is I'm actually going to add some tabs to this form. So I can hit add the tab. And let's call this one customer entitlements. And now I have two tabs on this form, and I can drag these entitlements across and drop them on here. There we go. And similar to the other form, the only thing we need to do is load the appropriate entitlements. Now, we already have an existing view. That's when that picker control is changed, and there it is. So I can just add that rule and tell it, whilst you're at it, go and load the other one as well. So let's add one more view method. Custom entitlements, and get do its list method, and once again, for the appropriate customer. So I'm going to once again grab that control. And send it into that view. And it's as easy as that. Wow, so now we spent a bunch of time modifying this form, adding different views, adding some logic. I'm going to go ahead and save that now and switch back to the runtime environment and capture one more issue. Right, so back to my issues list. Let's capture a new item. And you'll see now that the form will look very different from what it was a moment before. Much richer, much third-party data that's available directly on this form. Right, so let's capture one more over here. Error in the API, something like that. And now our customer could be something like Microsoft, as you saw in our keynote. K2 runs on Microsoft, and Microsoft runs on K2. So I thought, no, let's leverage that in this demo as well. Now, you can see it resolves in red. That's because there's actually more than one division in Microsoft running. But let's grab something like the marketing team. And notice how all the details load there on the right. This is all coming live from our custom, from our servers running in Redmond. If I go to the entitlements tab, you can see over here, here's all the details as well in this list view. That's all been loaded as well on this form. It's a line of business data leveraging in the solution right here. Right, so far we spent a lot of time talking about forms. At this stage, I would like to shift gears and introduce the third component, which is workflow. I've pre-built a workflow over here so I can have some nice data to show you, and we're going to use that workflow today for the remainder of this demo. It's a similar scenario, so I still have a customer issues list. So I'm going to go ahead and capture a new customer issue. And let's say my boss wants to see what SPC is like, something like that. And in this case, we can say, let's say that's Microsoft again. Grab some of these details. And let's go and allocate this to a user. Let's do a lookup. There we go, we'll do to Brandon. He is unable to attend, something like that. Perfect. Capture those details. And when was this due by? I can even go and use our date picker and say, well, let's do it next week sometime. Perfect. Right, and save. Now, what's slightly different here is that I've built a workflow that now kicks off when this form is filled in. And if I go back here to my work list, I can show you what that workflow looks like. There we go. So we have a graphical component which is called ViewFlow, which gives me a real-time snapshot of exactly where we are in this workflow process. So you can see that this one has pretty much three user tasks in it and a couple of updates to the list item in between. So the first thing is we send this into our support team to review the issue. They can then either close the ticket right there or they can review it and allocate that to the appropriate person who can then action that issue. And finally, we write it back to the customer to say, yep, I'm happy with that resolution. So let's work through this process and see what it's like. Now, our team that does the reviewing of these issues is not currently in the office. They're currently on their lunch break. But fortunately for us, they took their mobile device with them. So I'm going to switch across over here to this mobile device and go ahead and unlock that. Let me see what that looks like. Let me go and zoom in a bit. There we go. And I hope that looks okay. It looks pretty good. And they have the K2 mobile app installed on their device. So I can open up that app. And let's refresh the work list. And there we go. You can see at the top of the list, there's a review issue. My boss wants to see what the conference is like. We can open that item up. And you can see I can do anything with this work item that I want to. I can either sleep that for a certain amount of time, which means delay the task and notify me at a later stage. I can share this with other members of my team. I can redirect this, in other words, take this whole task and give it to delegate that to somebody and let them take care of it for me, or action this item right here. Now, I can't really take any action without seeing the form, so I can click on this red ribbon at the top, and that's going to open up that same smart form right here on my mobile device. Now, you'll notice when it opens up, the colors are slightly different. I'm actually leveraging our mobile theme. Let me go all the way to the top. There you can see my boss wants to see what SharePoint is like. It's loaded up the company. That's once again coming from our portal database, and it's currently assigned to Brandon. Brandon is not at the conference, unfortunately, so I'm actually going to remove him over here. But I do know that Bob is here, so let's go and use him, look him up. And there we can see that now I can reallocate this task to Bob. And I can go ahead and save this form. There's my save button. So I've made some changes, and I'm very happy with that. Similarly, of course, I can always do all of this sideways if I want to. So now I could say, well, I'm pretty happy with that. Let's get to my actions. And I'm now reviewed. The item is gone, and it's off my work list. There we go. So it's going to send this task off to Bob, who can now action this item. Now, Bob is very fortunate because Bob uses an iPad. So fortunately, one of the things that Bob was thinking about anyway whilst he was on stage during his session was to take a picture. So let me go and do that now. There we go. So that everybody knows exactly what will that look like. So let me go and put my iPad back on here and quickly zoom out just a little. Oh, what's this weird thing over here? Oh, that's the light. Okay, I hope it's not going to bother too much. And I can open up the K2 mobile app. You can see there I've got Bob's credentials, and he's logging in. The very first time you log in, the work list is empty, but then we cache all of that data locally, and we only upload the changes. So there we can see he's the same work list. It's already opened up to the most recent task by default, and here I've got access to exactly the same items as before. So I can do things like share this with somebody else, and I can add a user to go to share this task with, or I can simply redirect this task. And here it's giving me some options. Firstly, other people that are involved in this workflow, well, in this case, it's Bob, because we redirected the task to him. I can send this to other people in my team or groups that I'm a member of, and I happen to be a member of many groups, as you can see. Or if I use users and redirect this task to them once or twice, they'll keep appearing here in this recent list, and I have access to them very easily. The next fun one is sleep. I can't work on this item right now, but perhaps at a later stage, I've got some shortcuts, either till breakfast or lunch tomorrow, and yes, these are all configurable. Or I can do absolute or relative dates and times. So in this case, I can say to tomorrow at a certain date and time, so that's absolute. Or relative, I could say leave this thing for 3 days and then I'll worry about it and I can go and capture that as well. So very easy to go and work with these work items. Of course, the one that everyone is most interested in is the form. So I can click on that ribbon and have access to that same form. Let me go and close this up. There we go, it's a little bit dim. It's coming now. Let's try and block this little light for you. And there's the richer version of this form, which has those exact same views that we're using earlier. Of course, we're using the mobile theme, so you can see the controls are nice and big and can work here for my fingers. I also have that additional info tab. Oops, let me get rid of the keyboard, go back to the top. Let's go to additional info. There I can see some of the other tickets that have been logged by the customer, as well as some of that entitlement information that we showed you earlier. So everything is available here. Bob is able to work on this task immediately. And I'm just going to say, I will send him a photo and say dot. And let's go to the bottom over here, use our attachments view, and let's go and add something here. There we go, add an attachment from my camera roll. Let's use that photo I just used earlier. There we go, perfect, that's there. Hit add, still a tiny theming issue there, and there we've got and added this item, very happy with that. Can go ahead and save this form, and Bob is now done with all the work on this item, so he can go ahead and action it as well. Right, so let's go get to my actions. You can see they're also just available right here on the side pane. I can say actioned, and the work item is now gone. Great, so now I'm gonna temporarily switch back to my laptop. And what you will see there is that ViewFlow is our real-time component, and we use color to show you where the workflow is and how it's progressing. So we've just gone through the review issue, and you can see that was green. There it's just updated by live itself again as we've actioned this task. So that's now complete, and we're now at the final step, which is the customer that needs to review what we've done for them. Now, because our customer is Microsoft, they are obviously using nothing other than a Windows phone, so we happen to have a mobile app for that too. There we go. So there's my mobile app. You can see we've got the live tile at the bottom. You can click on that, and it's going to go and open up that work list. And let's let that refresh. There we go. There's my customer review at the top. You can go ahead and open that form. And once again, we render a mobile form. Now, in this case, I have mostly display controls that I've used for this form just to be able to see the results. But we could have done anything that we want to that works well on this form factor. There we go. He's unable to attend, and we sent him that picture. Great. So he can action that item. Very happy with that. He's going to go ahead and close the ticket, and that item will now be gone off of his work list. If I am quick enough, I can jump back over here. And we'll see our view flow now update. It does this every couple of seconds as it polls the server, and then that task will be done. There we go. So we've updated it, closed this ticket at the end. Let's close the loop and go all the way back to our list. There we go, right to the bottom. And here's my smart form that we filled in originally with my attachments at the bottom. Can open it up, and there's my picture attached to the SharePoint item. Great. And now that's the end of my mobile demo. Thank you very much, Adrian.
Thank you. Thanks, Willow. We are pretty much sort of where we wanted to be in wrapping this up this morning. We have one last thing. So there's a raffle going on. If you don't have a raffle ticket, please put up your hand. We'll hand it out quickly before they do the draw. While they hand out the raffle tickets to people who don't have, we have a little video about Appit that I'm going to play on the screen here. It's quite cool. It sort of highlights some of the things that we've done. And when... how do you get the thing to play with this? Sorry about that. Can't be kidding me. There we go. Can we get audio up? There's actually a very cool audio track behind this, which is playing right here next to me.
Audio guy's not paying attention. Sorry, audio guy.
Excuse me, audio guy. Can we get the audio? Can we get the audio up? That's fine. Can we get the raffles done? And then, Jono, can you, who's going to do the raffle draw? Christu, would you mind coming to the front, please? Just doing that quickly. Don't worry about it now. I'll bring you the box. You just pull the box out and read the number.
All right, so I've got number 394272. 394272. Woohoo! And 455193. 455193. That's, thank you.